be able to finish this up. Romans 9, 10, 11, he focuses on Israel. And this is describing Israel today in the church time period. And some people tend to think just because they're Israel that they're, you know, the people of God. And this chapter is showing just because you are a natural born Jew doesn't make you one of the inheritors of the Abrahamic covenant. So it's not a bloodline thing. And you'll see that in 9 verse 6. The second sentence, for they are not all Israel which are Israel. Okay, and then of course the British Israelites are going to jump that to Gentiles. So let's see, down to verse 15 where is a question, so we'll start there. And of course when we read the Bible, you know, you want to ask the Spirit to help you out. You can do it formally or you can just do it as you're reading. Lord, help us out. And so verse 15, for if the casting away of them, okay, Israel, be the reconciling of the world, how shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? The receiving of them, life from the dead, that would be the millennium. So we know our time span. For if the first fruits be holy, that would be Exodus 4, when Israel, God chose them to be his firstborn. So if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. So all through the years. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, okay, so some of the Jews don't follow the Judaism. So if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. The olive tree, probably the tree of life back in Genesis 3. In this context, the olive tree is associated with Israel. Throughout the Bible, the olive and vine tree are often found together. It's kind of unusual. So now the idea there, okay, and then 18, it says, boast not against the branches. So because we know that Israelites are blinded as far as spirituality goes, as far as the Lord goes, that doesn't mean we arrogantly boast against them. Okay, and you'll see a lot of people on, you know, line that, you know, they just hate Israel. Steve Anderson, this dude in Arizona, you know, he's a hater of Israel. And so he's obviously disobeying Scripture where it says, boast not against the branches. And the reason why he's saying that to us is that he's warning Gentiles, if you do the same thing Israel did, you will be blinded like Israel blinded. Don't you get a big head, because you can get blinded also. And so boasting against the branches. Now, the denominations through the years who claim that they have replaced Israel, the first one is Catholic Church. Okay, so that's where they take the Levitical priesthood and counterfeit it in the New Testament, so they have the priest and everything. So that's the first group that claims to be the new Israel. In the 1800s, the Mormons came along, and then the Jehovah's Witnesses came along. Now, both of those groups claim to be Israel. And it's kind of funny. All three of those groups believe in water baptism for salvation, but of course, it has to be their special water. Okay, and now in our day, the what are called Aryans or white supremacists, okay, they call themselves Israel, and then they call the Jewish people devils. So what they're doing is they're seeing the apostasy of Israel, but then they're overreacting. And now we are starting to see some even Baptists saying that they're the new Israel. Okay, and Obviously, they're not. So this is an example of World War II. A lot of history has been tainted. People don't recognize that Adolf Hitler was a Roman Catholic. He has never been excommunicated. Sure, he was. There was a thing called the Pink Swastikas, where they were infiltrated with a bunch of sodomites. And sure, he was into the New Agey stuff, but still, he was baptized Roman Catholic. He was never excommunicated. And he made this statement: "As for the Jews, I am just carrying on with the same policy which the Catholic Church has adopted for 1,500 years, when it has regarded the Jews as dangerous and pushed them into ghettos because it knew what the Jews were like. I don't put race above religion, but I do see the dangers in the representatives of this race for church and state, and perhaps I am doing," he says, "Christianity a great service," but he actually meant Catholics. When he died, or pretended to die, who knows what the true story is, that was very suspicious. But when his death was publicized, the Spanish dictator Francisco Franco published in a newspaper, "Adolf Hitler, the son of the Catholic Church, died defending the faith." Okay, and so that's the Catholic Church in action. The Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses want to be the new Israel. And so what Paul is telling us here, the last major deception of the church will be when professing Christians will claim to be Israel. Now, folks that don't believe in dispensations, one of their arguments against dispensationalism is that dispensationalists believe there's a difference between the church and Israel. And I'm like, of course. That don't even seem to me to be an argument, because they're spelled different and they have different things going on. And if a person is claiming to be Israel, then they have to take everything in Deuteronomy and apply to themselves. And they have to keep this weekly Sabbath. They got to keep the annual or the seven-year Sabbath for the crops. They've got to go to Jerusalem. So obviously they're picking and choosing certain aspects. Here's what Jeremiah said back in chapter 9 of Jeremiah, verse 25. He said this also, as far as, "Just because somebody is a natural-born Jew doesn't mean they will receive the promises that were given to Abraham. They have to have circumcised heart." Okay, Jeremiah 9, verse 25, the last two verses. And it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord." So when he makes that statement, that is referring to the second coming. "That I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised." So Jeremiah made this clear back then. Just because you're a natural born Jew doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be received. And then he says, the uncircumcised, and he lists them, Egypt and Judah, which seems strange, but that's in there. Edom is modern-day Jordan. Children of Ammon and Moab, that would be part of Saudi Arabia. And all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness, so that'd be down into Saudi Arabia. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. So that's where Paul brings that into the New Testament, where it says not all Israel is Israel. But that doesn't mean he takes the jump to the Gentiles either. So because we know this about Israel, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 122 that we should continue to pray for Jerusalem. So Psalm 122, and he says in verse 6, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Pray, peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces." So we still pray for Israel, but that doesn't mean we blindly follow the the press releases from Israel, okay, and all that stuff. Now, Jews in America generally, like blacks, will vote Democrat. The Jews, because of the liberal thing, but now Jewish people there, somebody just did a bunch of survey in a Jewish section, who are you voting for? And they Trump. And why would they vote for Harris? Because she's pro-Palestinian. And then, of course, Trump, on the 70th year anniversary, then publicly proclaimed Jerusalem to be the capital. So in some ways, the Lord is really using Trump, or has used him, like Cyrus. But then there are some things that are suspicious, too. So I don't know if he's playing a political game or what, but the idea is that... it's funny to me, these people say, we don't know what we're going to get with Trump. We already know, because we've had 4 years of him. We don't know what, well, we do know what we're going to get from it. Have you ever seen it as a little baby pictures? If that ain't a boy, I don't know what is. So, yeah. Okay, boast not against the branches. So that's to us. And he said, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. The root would be the Lord Jesus. Thou wilt say then, the branches were cut off that I might be grafted in. Well, why were they cut off? Verse 20, well, because of unbelief they were broken off. Now this is a nation. Arminians, or people who believe you can lose your salvation, they will use that, apply that to salvation. But this is not dealing with individual salvation. This is dealing with a group of people, nations, Israel, Gentile nations in particular. And that's where it's being broken off, okay, because of their unbelief. That idea of unbelief will come up again in Hebrews. And in the tribulation... Now, this is where some folks who claim to be dispensational, but when you get dealing with Old Testament righteousness and tribulation righteousness, I do not understand why they get all bent out of shape about that. For some reason, they do. Hebrews clearly says, shows that in the tribulation, the individual Jewish person, the righteous individual, will not have eternal security like we have it. Okay, and it's so easy to reveal that difference. And that's why the church cannot be in the tribulation. It just can't be. The 70 weeks of Daniel is all about Jerusalem, all about Israel. And that is never, that is the problem with the Left Behind series, you know, is that, sure, it's good entertainment. It's better than a lot of entertainment in Hollywood. But they give a false hope to people that people in the tribulation are going to be saved the same. And that's not true. It's not true at all. And so that Jenkins and Tim LaHaye were the ones that kind of wrote those novels and stuff. Okay, but that unbelief, you could run that to Hebrews 3, and then you could run that through Hebrews. Hebrews was one of the most difficult letters for me to understand, because the Pentecostals would run into 3 and 6 and 10. And then when I read Ruckman's commentary on Hebrews, that was the first one I ever read, I got so excited because, okay, now I see how that's laid out. And so to me, it was a tremendous blessing. So he says in verse 20, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. That's today. Faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Be not high-minded toward Israel, but fear, lest we be overcome with unbelief also. And of course, we don't lose our salvation this day. He says, for if God spared not the natural branches, Israel, take heed lest he also spare not thee, Gentiles. And so that's the amazing thing about the Lord, okay? And where God, when God brings down his wrath, it is severe. So in verse 20, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Okay, the good severity of God. One of the things in the Old Testament, when Moses was at Mount Sinai, he told the people, don't you come close to this mountain. And if you come close to this mountain, and if any of your animals happen to wander over this mountain, the angel is going to, man, can you imagine them animals or a person, all of a sudden here comes a spear and pins them against a rock? Boy, I don't know about that, because that's what they were saying was going to be slain. You'll find that in Hebrews 12. And so that's the amazing power of God. Now, Hollywood tries to portray some of these things like the Ark thing, the Ark dude.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, Indiana Jones. How did I forget Indiana? Tennessee Jones, you know, Indiana Jones, where they try to portray that stuff. And that one part of where this guy melts down, that's Zechariah 14:12 at the second coming, where their eyes will melt out of their socket. That's like a nuclear thing that God's going to do, or God's going to melt. Like when you go around the world, if you see mountain stuff, if you can use a little imagination, that was a city that was melted by God. Okay, he did ashes with Sodom and Gomorrah, but other places he just melted it down. And does our military have this technology? I do believe they do. You know, the thing in Malawi had lasers shooting from the sky starting those fires. Okay, and if you had a blue tarp, and I don't know what it is about a blue tarp, but that, I guess, prevented a lot of that stuff. And then you see, here's a car that's melted. I mean, the engine block is melted, and then there's tree and grass around. Now, how come that didn't get burned? So there are very weird things going on. And, of course, the Lord can do as he wishes. Okay, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, when the earth opened up and swallowed those people in Korah. Yeah, that'd be something. The thing about that, I think is kind of funny, is that people blame Moses for that. Like he had a remote control button, open mouth, earth. You know, it's like that. They got mad at Moses for that. So on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in this goodness. Notice, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And so we need to rest in the goodness of God. Thank you for his goodness. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So I would say that's probably a Jew that does get saved, where they're put in Christ. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So, natural branches. Now, in Israel, okay, hold your finger here if you would. Go to Revelation 2. And the way you confuse people, the way you confuse Christians is you set up a counterfeit. The way you confuse Americans is you set up a counterfeit. So, you have the United States of America, and if you look in the Declaration of Independence, it will be a lowercase u, United States, uppercase S of America. And then you have United States. That's a corporation. That could, it's a corporation. It's also, it could be 50 states. It could be 50 states plus. I mean, you have to define the term, really. It's really an unusual thing. And it seems that where the U.S. came in, U.S. and the S like this, U.S. like this, was on the U.S. Postal Service, where they had it on the Pony Express, and U.S., and they had two lines. Notice how they have it now. The S is one-lined, because that's the counterfeit. So you have the two lines, which is proper coinage, and then one line is counterfeit, and the Federal Reserve notes counterfeit. And this is the frustration you have in your country. The theory is quite clear, but it's procedure that you can't figure out if you go to court. You have a flag. Do we have a flag in here? We did it one time. Okay, if the flag has a gold fringe on it, that's a military flag. If the flag has a eagle or a phoenix on top, that's a military or admiralty law flag. If you go to courthouse, you just, oh, there's the flag. Oh, I can see what I'm dealing with. Okay, and it's very precise with these people. And so that's how you confuse people, is by the counterfeiting. And that's how do you confuse Christians? Wolves in sheep's clothing. You have the Lord Jesus, the Word of God. You got fake words of God. 2 Corinthians says there's another Jesus. That's how you confuse Christians. Counterfeiting. Okay, and the U.S. Code at one time had in there that the Federal Reserve note was legal counterfeit. But they've removed that out of there because it made it too obvious. Okay, now, verse 25. Here's the heart of this idea. And it says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant. Okay, that phrase, or like to it, is found 7 times in the New Testament. 6 by Paul, 1 by Peter. Okay, this is the second occurrence, I would not have you to be ignorant. So that tells us there are 7 topics in the New Testament the Lord wants you and I to know about. Do not be ignorant about these. Then he says, should not be ignorant of this mystery. Okay, now you got the mystery there. Okay, if you would go to 1 Corinthians 4, mystery. I've been in church, I've been, you know, always been in church, you know, as a kid, you know, baptized a little fat Dutch Reformed kid. And then left Dutch Reformed when I was 11. And then Bible church. So, and I can remember churches having January to be stewardship month. Rick, you remember that? Stewardship month? Do you remember? Did you have it at Fairhaven? Stewardship month? So in January, so that was the month where they wanted to, people to commit how much they're going to give, so they kind of knew what they were going to give. And they'd always use 1 Corinthians 14 is required for a steward that a man be found faithful. That's always what's used. Faithful to what, though? The first verse, faithful to the mysteries. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And if you go to these churches and ask them, what are the 7 major mysteries? Now, you know, you can give them a break and say, can you give me 3? Now, Larkin has 11, and it seems to me that those may be crisscross. But what are the mysteries of God? It's an idea or a doctrine that is kind of tough to get, but we can eventually kind of understand it. Okay, that's what a mystery is, and we are to be stewards of that. In the reference Bible, somewhere in a footnote, I put all 7 in there. And then it might have been there. Oh, yeah, there it is. Huh? And so it's down in a footnote there. And what happens when a church is not faithful teaching those mysteries, then a false idea will rise up to counterfeit it. So Romans 11, back to Romans 11, 25. This idea, this topic, is a double important idea because it's one of the 7 areas we are not to ignore, and it's one of the 7 mysteries we are to be good stewards of. So it's really very, very important. Now there is another mystery that is another topic we are not to ignore. And for all the money in Bryce's pocket, whoever knows the answer, you got any money in your pocket? Is the pre-tribulation rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4. So you got out of that one. Good thing you didn't get your credit card. That'll work. So if both of those mysteries and topics involve the church. So 25, this is a biggie, okay? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. And then he has, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Okay, so that tells us that if you come across a person who thinks they're British Israelite, what you're going to know about them beforehand is that they are wise in their own conceits. They are conceited, man. I've learned that firsthand just by dealing with them. And then I run the cross-reference to Proverbs 26:12, where it says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceits, there's more hope of a fool." And so this is what you know you're dealing with even beforehand. So then he says this, "Lest you be wiser, that blindness in part has happened to Israel." So it's in part, so you can find some Jewish people who are born again. But blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Okay, so you have two different groups, Israel, Gentiles, Israel blind, fullness of the Gentiles. Fullness of the Gentiles would be the tribulation where they overrun the Jewish temple. And then 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. Okay, all Israel, the ALL would be the remnant, not all Jewish people. It's the remnant that steps into that all, because they become corporately. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And that's the completion of Daniel's 70th week. For this is my covenant unto them, that's in Hebrews 8, when I shall take away their sins. So the Israel that is of 26 today are blinded. Okay, and so one of these guys' name is Gordon Ginn, and so he's an author for the British Israelite System, and somehow I got his email address because I didn't want to waste stamps to write to the guy. And so I kept asking, "Are you Israel of Romans 11:26? Please tell me, are you Israel of Romans 11? He would never answer that. And so, and we went back and forth four different times, back and forth. Are you Israel? And I was waiting for him to say yes, because then I would, well, I did tell him because he refused to answer. And I said, because if you're Israel 11:26, that means you're Israel of 11:25. That means you're blinded. How can you see? And so, yeah, it was kind of fun. I knew it wasn't going anywhere. This is a group, and when you get somebody like this, they're the toughest. Okay, now that covenant, that's the Abrahamic covenant. It's the Davidic covenant. It's the new covenant. They all kind of go together. Now, today, as concerning the gospel, today, the Lord Jesus Christ, they, blinded Israel, are enemies for your sakes. So this is why you can't be an out-and-out missionary in Israel. You have to be an undercover missionary. This is why you cannot pass out tracts in Israel. And if the rabbi catches you, he'd probably pelt you with a rock. I knew a guy that did happen to him, where he was told to stop passing out tracts, and then he thought one more, and there's like a public billboard or a public little community board, and he kind of looked around and he put a track up there, and all of a sudden, the guy must have been a good shot. He should have been a baseball pitcher. But he got the guy. So, and when Brent and I went to Israel, we would go at nighttime when nobody was around, and we would go to certain houses at night and stash tracts, but we didn't want to bring our tour group into danger. We still wanted to pass out tracts, but we had to do it that way because Israel are enemies to the gospel. That's today. But what is it? But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. That's the Israel that Hebrews writes about. Now notice again, the word election is within the context of Israel. And a Calvinist needs to know that, but that's a trick. You take a Bible word, give it the wrong definition, confuse people, and you define it very easy by the English. And then he says, for the gifts and calling of a God without repentance. God is not going to change on his agreement with Israel. But that doesn't mean a natural born Jew is automatically in. They have to be circumcised in heart. And they will be the ones that inherit, Hebrews 1:14 says, inherit salvation. You and I don't inherit salvation. It's a gift. And then we can earn an inheritance, but it's not salvation. That would be more on glorification. And salvation in Hebrews is not individual salvation. It's the salvation of a nation where Israel as a nation gets born again in the tribulation. Isaiah writes about that. And some of this stuff, I believe it, but to explain it, go ask my wife. She writes the sermons anyway. Our neighbor did really believe that. Okay, so that's without repentance. And then he says, 30, for as ye in times past have not believed God, okay, that would be the Gentiles, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. We obtain mercy because of Israel's unbelief. And then, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief. That's the conclusion of God, that he might have mercy upon all. So, I think I skipped something. 31. Even so have these also now not believed, that through their mercy they may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Okay, so Israel, Jewish people, be they fake Jews. I did have you turn to Revelation 2, and I forgot to read it, didn't I? Well, anyway, Revelation 2, 9 and 3, 9, Jesus Christ said, there some say they are Jews and are not. So that gives us an idea. Jesus is letting us know, hey, you got counterfeit Jews. Just because the counterfeit Jews are running the media industry, the banking industry, the fake Jews, the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergers, and you see many. Whoopi Goldberg, did you know she's Jewish? Goldberg, that's Jewish. She must be in the southern section of Israel. She's a real scumbag. Okay, but they take on that. If they're Jewish, they change their names. The heroes of the faith, Curly Moe and Larry, were all Jewish. Mo, Samuel, and Jerome. That was Curly. And then it's funny how that just comes. Michael Landon, Little House on the Prairie. He was Horowitz, I think. But they kind of hide that Jewishness, okay? But just because we see that, and how did that happen? Well, when the Jews came during World War I, they didn't know English. And so that's when the silent films came in. And they gained power through the silent films and then eventually just kept moving up on that power, influencing people through the movies. But that's fake Israel. Now, it's the conclusion is wonderful in 33. You're talking about the blindness of Israel and all this stuff. And then he just, the writers, the King James writers threw in exclamation points, even though they just really wanted to bring this out. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Amen and amen. Amen. Psalm 147:5 says his understanding is infinite. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And that's the thing about the Old Testament. When God tells Israel, judge this nation, kill every single one of them, he doesn't explain why that he did that. And some people say, well, he was so mean. Yeah, but if, okay, an analogy. Okay, you leave your house, you go off someplace for 2 months vacation, you come back and there's squatters. What are you going to do? Then you find out those squatters, and where the husband, he didn't come back with the wife. She comes back 2 months, comes back, they're squatters. So she lives in the house, and the person in the house is abusing his family. What's he going to do? He's going to want justice. And that's what God did. These squatters in the land of Canaan were killing people and children. So God, instead of God saying, this is why I want you to do it, I'm just telling you, do it. Kill them. And when you read through the Bible, then you begin to pick that up. And that's why God did that. But people don't look at that. They say, oh, God just mean in the Old Testament. He had a reason for blowing Sodom and Gomorrah off the map. And they said, what about the children? Well, guess what? The children are all going to rise from the dead and live during the millennium. And they're going to say, thank you that I wasn't raised in Sodom. Because I would have probably lived to be like them. So that was really in God's mercy. And I believe that's why the Lord Jesus said on several occasions that children of such is the kingdom of heaven. So they get those choices. So, you know, people, he doesn't get a break from people. Never gets a break. And we need to give God the benefit of the doubt. So then he has a series of questions here. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Obviously nobody's been his counselor. Or who hath first given to him? Nobody. And it shall be recompense unto him again. Well, what we give to him, he's already given to us. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. He created it. He made the rules. He can do as he wish. And so that's what sports is all about. They got rule book. Okay? And so people, people judge God so fast. And it's amazing God's silence. It's amazing on his mercy. Okay, hey, we got through 9 through 11. It only took us 2 or 3 months. Whatever. And then 12 gets back to us. It gets back to us. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your words. And I do pray you'd help us to be good students of your word. We thank you for them. We pray that the Spirit of God will guide us in all truth. In Jesus' name, amen.